study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our Bible study today comes from the book of Exodus. Our teacher is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University until the time he went to be with his Lord. And now by tape recording, here is today's study by Mr. Boyd.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 27. That's Exodus, chapter 27, and we're going to study today verses 1 to 8. These verses give us instructions concerning the construction of the brazen altar, the altar of burnt offering, or the altar of the continued burnt offering. Now, today, as we have been for some time, we're in a division of the book of Exodus, which has to do with Revelation. And of course, this is the theological period of Israel's history in which God revealed himself, his law, and the way of approach unto the nation. Israel is encamped at Sinai. 26 chapters of this book is devoted to this wonderful subject. And in the chapter 19, we read of the revelation of the Lord. In chapters 20 to 24, the annunciation of the law. And chapters 25 to 40, the designation of the way of approach unto God. 16 chapters, then, are devoted to this great subject, which indicates its importance. And thus the tabernacle, which tells us of the blood-sprinkled way of approach unto God, dominates this section of the book of Exodus. In chapters 25 to 31, there is a gracious provision for Israel. In chapters 32 to 34, the grievous perversion of Israel as they sinned. And chapters 35 to 40, the glorious performance in Israel when this tabernacle was constructed. And then God came and acknowledged it by his glory cloud coming and taking up its abode in the Holy of Holies above the mercy seat of the Ark of the Testimony. All right, in these verses now, we have for us today the instructions concerning the construction of the brazen altar. God says to Moses, "And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. And thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof. His horns shall be of the same, and thou shalt overlay it with brass. And thou shalt make his pans to receive his ashes, and his shovels, and his basins, and his flesh hooks, and his fire pans, all the vessels thereof, thou shalt make of brass, and thou shalt make for it a great network of brass, and upon the net shalt thou make 4 brazen rings in the 4 corners thereof, and thou shalt put it under the compass of the altar beneath, that the net may be even to the midst of the altar. And thou shalt make staves for the altar, staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with brass, and the staves shall be put in to the rings, and the stave shall be upon the 2 sides of the altar to bear it. Hollow with boards shalt thou make it, as it was showed thee in the mount, so shall they make it." The brazen altar, the altar on which the daily sacrifice was offered, the altar where the fire was never to be allowed to go out, and the morning and evening sacrifices were to be offered there, as well as the burnt offering, daily burnt offering, and other offerings for the people's sins. Notice in the first place the materials from which this brazen altar was to be made. Thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, that acacia wood, which speaks of the impeccable righteousness of the Lord Jesus and his durability as the Son of Man. And then verse 8, where it says, "Hollow boards thou shalt make it, as it was showed thee in the mount." So it was to be made of this acacia wood. This acacia wood, in verse 2, was to be overlaid with brass. And the whole altar, then, was to be covered within and without of brass. Brass is a metal which speaks of judgment. And, of course, this then indicates that the Lord Jesus Christ, in his impeccable righteousness, was judged for our sin. And it speaks of him as made sin for us, a burnt offering who offered himself up in all of his essential excellencies unto God on behalf of our sins. The dimensions of this altar are 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. And then it was to be 3 cubits higher, 4.5 feet high. This was twice the height of the mercy seat. And so we have a 7.5-foot square box, 4.5 feet high, which was this altar. And then the rest of this passage deals with the various furnishings that belong to the altar. First of all, in verse 2, "Thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof, and his horn shall be of the same, and thou shalt overlay it with brass." Now these 4 horns were to be made of shittim wood and overlaid with brass, just as the rest of the altar. Primarily, these horns functioned as a place on which the victims were tied that were slaughtered for the sacrifice. However, the word horn in Scripture is used frequently for power, for strength. You see, that's the part of the oxen with which he pushed and with which he exercised his strength as he either defended himself or as he engaged in battle on the aggressiveness. And so, this speaks of strength, of power. And so God with power judges sin so that men might be brought unto God. These horns provided one other thing. We read in Scripture about some men, such as Joab on one occasion, who went and took hold of the horns of the altar. This was a place of refuge, an asylum for those who were about to be executed. And sometimes it was honored that when a person took hold of the horns of the altar, then that person was spared from being executed. We'll notice that some of the other furnishings for the altar were the ashes pans, the pans in which to catch the ashes, shovels with which to do various parts of the work, basins to catch the blood and various parts of the carcass that was to be sacrificed, flesh hooks by which that carcass was to be handled, fire pans in which the fire was to be contained. And then a very interesting thing in verses 4 and 5, we read of a grate. "And thou shalt make for it a grate of network of brass." All right, here is a network, a net, made up of woven brass. "And upon the net thou shalt make 4 brazen rings for the 4 corners thereof." So the rings through which the rods were to be placed, by which this altar was to be carried, were attached to the grate. "And thou shalt put it under the compass of the altar beneath." Or this means that the grate went around on the side and the periphery underneath the altar itself. And, of course, the rings through which the rods were to be placed on which the altar was carried was there at the bottom then of the altar. Now notice what it says, "should be under the compass of the altar beneath, that the net may be even to the midst of the altar." So it was to rise up from the bottom of the altar with inside of it and be right at the middle, which would mean that it would be 1.5 cubits high from the bottom. All right. "And thou shalt make staves for the altar, staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with brass. And the staves shall be put into the rings, and the staves shall be upon the 2 sides of the altar to bear it." So here you have an altar made of shittim wood or acacia wood, overlaid within and without of brass. This network of grate made from brass was to be attached to the bottom of the altar, and inside then it was to rise up halfway up to the altar, and there is where the fire was to come up between that grate in order to burn the sacrifice that was laid up on the altar itself. And to that grate then was attached the rings through which the staves that bore the altar was to be placed. And these staves likewise were made of shittim wood, overlaid with brass. Everything then about this altar speaks of judgment. And this is the first article of furniture inside the east gate of the tabernacle. When a worshiper came to that gate, the thing that he saw first and foremost was the brazen altar on which the sacrifice was laid and offered unto Almighty God. And this speaks vividly of the fact that no man can approach the Holy God apart from the fact that his sins must be judged upon an innocent substitute and laid upon the altar before God, that the smoke of that sacrifice might ascend up to the Holy God as a sweet-smelling savor, that is, a savor, an odor of rest, a fragrance of satisfaction, so that when God smelled the odor that came from the smoke of the altar, his holy heart, which had been agitated by our sins, was put at rest, perfectly satisfied with the sacrifice that was offered. And this speaks of Christ. Christ is our sin offering. Christ is our burnt offering. Christ is our peace offering. Christ is our trespass offering, offering himself up unto Almighty God as a sweet savor and as an expiation for our sins. So he not only propitiated God when he died for our sins, but he expiated us and took our place and made provision for the doing away of our sins. And so, my dear friend, there's only one way of approach to a holy God, and that is through the blood-sprinkled way, by the way of the altar, where sin has to be judged by a holy God in order for a holy God to accept you or me in his presence without consuming us in his wrath. I wonder, have you ever turned to the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sins? Have you ever received him as your Savior? Owned him as your Lord? If not, why not do so today?
Today's study was given by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. We trust that the timeless truths taught in these studies, recorded by Mr. Boyd during his earthly ministry, will help you in your daily walk with the Lord. Join us again next time for more helpful studies on the Bible Institute of the Air. This program is a production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.